Tony gave me the inclination to do this, and I just want to kind of recap what we've been through from the book of Romans. I see the book of Romans this way, and this is why this is so important and why I went through it. Because it pertains to all of us today, as all the scripture does. But the book of Romans specifically hinges and centers, I should say, centers upon the gospel. It's important for us to understand, even if we've been Christians for years, we haven't been Christians very long, some of us not, to understand what the gospel is, see. And Paul lays that out, kind of. But I like to put it this way. It's what Paul is trying to get across to us in the book of Romans. You have first man's way. And then over here, we can put it this way, and we have God's way. You put an arrow here, and you put an arrow here. And what you have is you have two roads, two ways that you can go, ultimately. Everybody, in the whole history of the world, all of us, all of mankind's got two ways, two roads. Their way, man's way, or God's way. And in the first part of Romans here, what Paul lays out for us, and before I get to that, I found this. I thought this was very interesting in relationship to roads. You ever heard the old proverb, "All roads lead to Rome"? That's no exaggeration. Back in the time of the Roman empires, I found this quite interesting. The Romans built roads, built the first roads, the Via, or the VA. You've heard of the song Via Dolorosa? Via, it's road. Well, the Romans built roads, believe it or not, that have lasted to this very day. Still there, if you go over there. You see them in Italy. You see some in the United Kingdom and in Britain and elsewhere. And those roads, all those roads, facilitated the spreading of the gospel. I find that interesting. Did you know that at its peak, the Roman road system, that the roads that the Romans built spanned some 53,000 miles. And they all contained approximately what they say, 372 links. You get that? The Romans built some 53,000 miles of roads. And they had 372 links. And those roads, the reason why they built them was because those roads provided Rome's military to travel. They provided commercial purposes for the Roman Empire. Now, the Rome, what they say is the roads built by Roman engineers consisted of rubble, consisted of gravel and stone as the bottom layer. And the reason why was because that allowed, it was, they designed it that way to allow water to pass through without turning into mud. And then they put on another layer of stone. And then they used concrete. They couldn't mix it like we do today, but they used the concrete as a surface layer. How ingenious, huh? And they would, every 1,620 yards, they would put a milestone. That's where we get those things from. It's from the Romans. And they would have various way stations that were dotted along those roads every 15 to 18 miles. Did you know that one of the Roman emperors was the first one that found a postal system? That was Augustus. To get their message around. They did that all with the Roman roads. Well, Paul would have traveled some of those roads. And one of the most famous thoroughfares that he traveled was known as the Via Ignatia. And that was the Roman road that connected Asia Minor, Europe, and Italy. And Paul utilized that road in his trips, in his missionary journeys, throughout Macedonia and Achaia. And it said, on his journey to Rome, he would have traveled that. So that's why I call the Epistle to Rome, his letter to the Church of Rome, the road to freedom, because that's what it is. But in order to get to the road to freedom, you have to think about this. Man's way or God's way? That's why Paul says, you see, in the first three chapters, I'll give you a basis of what the messages were about. In chapter 1, Paul says, man's way. And in man's way, what he, Paul, says is that Gentiles, you and I, if you're not a Jew, if you're not Jewish, are lost in sin. Chapter 1. Chapter 2, Paul goes to his fellow kinsmen, and he says, the Jews, the Israelites, the Hebrews, are what? They're lost in sin. And then in chapter 3, guess what he says? He's talked about Gentiles, he's talked about Jews. And then chapter 3, Romans 3:23, y'all know that? No, you should. For all have, knows what he said there? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, the character of God. He puts them all together there, see? The first one he talks about the world as a people as a whole, the Gentile, and leaves the Jews out. And in chapter 2, he brings the Jews back in. He says, you're God's people. You think you're his people. You think you've got it because you have his law. You have the Torah. You have the teachings. So you think you've got it made. And Paul says, no. Paul says, no, you don't. You're lost. You're lost in sin. Just as the Gentiles. So that's the first part of it. But it's man's way or God's way. And then Paul says here, chapter 1, verse 16, 17, For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And that's in the present tense, brothers and sisters. That means that you continue to believe. For everyone who continues to believe, that presupposes that you can stop believing. And I know some who have. It was interesting that, you know, I was telling them the other day and Friday that three of the ones that I know that have, that I went to school with, Bible college with, and in graduate school with, their names all begin with John. How ironic is that? But they no longer believe. They did preach at one time, though. But now they no longer believe. See, that's what Paul said. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, who continues to believe. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Why to the Jew first? Because that's where Jesus came first. Came to the house of Israel first. Then he says to the Greek, the Goyim, the Gentile, if you would. For in it, righteousness, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Us doing things by God's way. And before we go further, Mike, I want you to pass these out. Because this is important to get. I got this from, I have to tell you who he told me that I could copy it and give it out. So I'll tell you who it comes from Brother Gareth Reese, who teaches at Central Christian College of the Bible in Moberly, Missouri. But this is important. Because his footnote down below, in order for you to understand and in order for us to get people to be Christians, we have to understand what the gospel entails. Many people think, well, the gospel just means we believe in Jesus. What James tells us, and even the Lord said, James tells us that even the demons believe. But are they saved? No, because it's what they don't agree with as far as Jesus is concerned. But of course they believe who he is, but they don't believe in him. And many people know or believe Jesus, say they do, but they don't believe in him. That's why I've told you before, my major and spiritual mentor and major teacher in Bible college and grad school, Dr. Strauss, used to always tell us, he said, I'm not asking you what you know about Jesus. I want to know, do you know him? And there is a difference. Many people, and that's why I tell some people, I said, I told someone not a year or so ago, I said, it's not so much, I know it. It took 2 years Hebrew, 3 years of Greek. But you see, so many people spend their time in that they don't know Jesus. Oh, they know about him, and they know about God, and yet they can say, yes, they know some about the languages and that. So what? You see, it's not so much in knowing those things, but what you do with it. If it helps you to get to know him, not to know about him, So many people do those things to know about him, but not to really know him. And there's a difference. See? So that's why I tell people normally and usually, unless you're teaching, unless you are trying to learn those languages, to know more about the word, or to teach it, or to preach it, leave it alone. Because it's not going to do that much for you. It's what you know about him. And this is why I give you this, because this is the elements, see, of the gospel. And what Paul is bringing out to us. First, there are facts to be believed. Notice what he said, and Brother Gareth says here. And this is what Paul says in Romans. See, the Jews, just like the Gentiles, they had their way. And they believed that it was the law of Moses. But facts to believe, as it says here, Paul says, and what he says in Romans, and what he says here in 1 Timothy and in Galatians, the law of Moses does not save. The Jews believed it did. Many people, there are those out there who are teaching this, and they're still teaching that the law of Moses saves. And they are taking people straight to hell by teaching that. Because the law of Moses does not save. Any person, any Jewish person today, when the Lord comes back again, he's not going to ask them if they know the law of Moses. Just as he said to Jesus, said to the Israelites of his day. What did he tell them? That you search the scriptures. You search the scriptures and yet you cannot see? You cannot understand that who I am? But yet you say you search the scriptures. They were blinded. They couldn't see. And they couldn't hear him. That's what he meant when he said, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. He was saying, for those who are teachable, for those who are listening. The Jews of Jesus' day wouldn't listen because they believed the law of Moses saved. And the law of Moses does not save. That's what Paul says. Romans 9 through 11 is about this. And people have got to get this. Why did God use the nation of Israel? Because it was through the nation of Israel, principally the tribe of Judah, that the Messiah came. Jesus is the Lamb of God, yes. He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's why God used his people. He wanted them to be a holy people, yes. But he also used that nation to bring forth the Messiah, Jesus. And once he brought Jesus into play, once Jesus came as the Word incarnate, became flesh, the Word became incarnate, became flesh, became Jesus. Once Jesus came on the scene, people, you have got to understand that, we've got to get this across to other people. Once Jesus came on the scene, God was done with Israel as a nation. His purpose for them was done. And they couldn't understand that. That's why Paul means in Romans 9 through 11. Because the Jews thought that no matter what they believed, God was still going to save them. And God said, no. My way, not your way. And my way is through my Son. And that's why Jesus said, when right before he was crucified, and saw all these women weeping in that, he said, "Weep, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves." Because he knew in 40 short years, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed and the temple. Well, why do you think God did that, allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed? Because they rejected his Son. That's why Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I love to take you under my wing, just as a mother hen takes her chicks under her wing." But you know what Jesus said? "But you would not." Jesus was saying, "But you would not allow me to." And when Jesus died on that cross and the veil in the temple was torn in two, God said, "I am done with it." God said, "I'm done with the temple. My presence, the physical temple, my presence is no longer there. The old covenant is done with. Now it's my Son. You come to my Son, or you don't have salvation." That's what he was saying to that. But the reason why he allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed and the temple to be razed to the ground and it will never be razed again, because God said he was done with that. God said, Hebrews 1, what did he say in Hebrews chapter 1? First he spoke through who? He spoke through the fathers. Then he spoke through the prophets. And then what does he say? He says, "And then last of all, I have spoken through my Son." He said, last of all, I'm not going to speak to fathers, to prophets, even those who say they are prophets today. God says, "I'm not going to speak to prophets anymore." He said, "I've spoken through my Son." And that's last of all. So you see this, facts to believe. This is the gospel, and you have to believe these things. What do we have to be united on? It's these things right here. The law of Moses is not saved. The facts concerning Christ, he fulfills Old Testament prophecy. We believe in his birth, that he is of the seed of David. We believe in his ministry. The fact that he died on the cross, we believe in his burial, we believe that he rose again on the third day, we believe that he appeared to the apostles and to over 500 brethren, his post-resurrection appearances. We believe that he ascended to the Father, and now he's exalted at the right hand of God. You have to believe those things if you say you believe the gospel. But then there are commands to be obeyed. Paul lays that out. There's the emphasis on obedience. Some of the commands to be believed in the gospel, you have to have these. You have to believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, Lord and Savior. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. You have to have that belief. You have to repent. Repent of your sins. Turn. That means you're going to live a different life, different way. Then you have to be immersed into Christ so you arrive from that old life to new life. That's where you come in contact with the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 6. That's what that says. And then, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, we must be faithful. Paul tells us, and Romans lays that out, is that people who do not obey, see, this is what it comes down to, man's way or God's way, people who do not obey and follow God's way, scriptures tell us they perish. Paul lays that out in Romans. But then, as he lays out in Romans as well, just as this said, there are promises to be enjoyed as a for following Christ, for obeying the gospel, for knowing what the gospel is, for everybody, for all nations, for all ethnic groups. Promises to be enjoyed is we have the forgiveness of our sins through Christ. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6. And we have new life. Romans 6. We're buried. Our old life is buried. We arise to the newness of life. So there we have seasons of refreshing. We have the Holy Spirit. We are part of the kingdom of God. We have his peace, Christ's peace. And we believe that he will return. But we also know there will be judgment. And the promise to be enjoyed is heaven. So that's just a couple of the things that we must believe as far as the gospel is concerned. So chapters 4 through 8, to put it in a nutshell, tells us that we are well and all is well if we are in Christ. Get that? If we are in Christ. Paul tells us, a capsule of Romans 4. Paul tells us we are saved by what? Faith. Faith in what? Faith in who? Faith in Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, present tense, continues believing in him, will not perish, but will have eternal life. For God so loved the world in such a way, literally what it says. That's Romans 4, capsule. Chapter 5. Capsulize that. If you turn to Romans 5, what's Paul talks about there? He talks about we are not only saved by faith, but we are what? We are justified. How are we justified? What's that? We're justified through Christ. We are declared. Notice, the scripture should not say we become righteous or we are righteous. The scriptures say, Romans 6, we are declared righteous. Well, who declares us righteous? Society? People around us? Other preachers, other teachers? Are they the ones that declare you righteous? Well, they think they can. Do they? See, the world won't want us to have, again, their way of righteousness and what righteousness is. God said, no. I declare righteousness. I declare those who are righteous, and those who are righteous are in my Son. They accept him. So that in essence is Romans 5. And Paul tells us there and isn't this marvelous? Paul tells us, not only is God declared as righteous, but you know what we're saved from? We're saved from his wrath. But we're only saved from his wrath through who? To Christ. Because when Jesus comes back again, guess what, brothers and sisters? He's coming in wrath for those who do not believe and who do not obey him. That's what it says. We don't have to worry about that, do we? As long as we're in Christ, as long as we remain in Christ, we don't have to worry about that. We shouldn't be worried about it. I know maybe this might be a harsh thing to say, but no Christian should be afraid to die. Came as a shock to me Thursday when I heard about Brother Pat. But you know what that teach says as well? No one knows. No one knows when they may lead this life. What's that, Jeff? I do believe Pat was ready. And now he's home. Get that? You see, people want to think that this is home. Even many Christians. Brothers and sisters, we are just pilgrims. What's that? We are aliens. And the world doesn't like that. But so many in the church, they want to live like they're not aliens. They want to live like they're not pilgrims. They want to live like they're tied to this. And that's what Paul's trying to get across. We're not. We're citizens of another kingdom. And that's in essence Romans 5. We are saved from his wrath. Praise be to him. Then in Romans 6, Paul tells us how we get remission of sins, how we are saved from sin. And people want to cut that part of Romans out. You can't. It's all part of the gospel. How we get remission of sin. Paul lays that out in Romans 6. It's through our immersion into Christ. If you are not immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, you have not come into contact with the blood of Christ. The only way that you can come into contact with the blood of Christ is by being immersed in that watery grave of baptism and arise to the newness of life. So that's Romans 6, very important part. Romans 7, Paul tells us there that we are united to Christ if we are obedient. But there he also tells us there something that the Jews couldn't learn and many people can't learn today. We are saved from law. Whether that be the law of Moses or man's law. We're saved from that. Doesn't mean that we should not be obedient to laws of our land and that. We should. But we're saved from those things because that's man's way. See? Not his way. That's in essence what Paul is saying in Romans 7. And in Romans 8, you know what Romans 8 is all about? And I spent quite a bit of time in that. If we are in Christ, we are saved from death. Now, I do not mean physical death. I mean eternal separation from God. I mean the second death. That's what Paul says in Romans 8. That's why the victory is ours. That's why Paul ends Romans 8 by saying, all things work together to good for who? For everyone? Exactly what Patty says. For all those who follow him. for all those who are in Christ. That doesn't mean that life's going to be a bed of roses, though. So that brings us up to what I would call the midpoint, if you would, of the book of Romans, which we'll stop today. And as again, I'll just encapsulate Romans 9 to 11 as a whole. And that is this. Paul is saying here that, yes, he wants his brethren, his kinsmen, the Israelites, to come to Christ. Romans 9. In Romans 10, what he says here is this. So faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of Christ. That's all in the context of the Jews, by the way, as well as all the Gentiles. And then what he says in verse 18 following in chapter 10. And in chapter 11, Paul says that Israel, people, are not cast away. But Paul says there in Romans 11, what he is saying is they're not going to be saved their way. If the Israelites, if Jews are going to even be saved today, it's going to be this way, God's way. And God's way has all to do with his son, see, with Christ. Well, I'll kind of give you next week the rest of Romans. But to me, it's so important to see that what it's all about is that. I came across this, and I think this is, I read this, it's by a sister named Lindsay Bell. I found this in one of our educational magazines, and I want to share this with you. In closing, what holds you captive? See, most people would say, as she says, most of us would claim that nothing does. But in reality, though, for many of us, and believe it or not, even those who claim Jesus as Lord and Savior are in captivity. They shouldn't be, but they are. They are held captive. They're not completely free. They followed this road to freedom a certain way, but then they've gotten stuck, or they've taken a wrong turn, and they've gotten off track. As she says, for some, their past holds them captive. For some people, even as Christians, and I think that's where one of our dear sisters is who's not with us this morning. It's that Satan, the old devil, he whispers lies into people's ears. He whispers lies into people's ears, and he gets them to doubt where they're at in Christ. Or they gets them to doubt who Christ is. I firmly believe that Satan works in that way. And what he tells him is this: you can never be forgiven for what you've done. You really believe that you've been forgiven, but you can never be forgiven. That's where many people are held captive. They get it within them that they can never be forgiven, no matter what, because of something that they've done. I know people like that. People like that who still claim Christ, who still believe they're Christians. But they still believe there are certain things they've done in life or certain things have happened to them, they can never be forgiven. That's not God talking. Although I don't believe God literally talks to us. But that's not what God's word says, is it? Anyone can be forgiven if what? Paul tells us that in Romans. If what? Exactly. See? And so many are caught up in that. For others, it's an addiction that's got them trapped. For some, and I know some who are very close to me, it's unforgiveness. They can't forgive certain people. And they say they never can, and they never will. But whose choice is that? They want God to do it for them, but is God going to do it? Mm-mm. No. You see, God, people, He doesn't want us to be captive anymore. He wants us set free from whatever is holding us captive. From whatever people that we know that are being held captive, He doesn't want them to be. And that's why Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation to everyone that believes." Do we understand that? Do we get that? In the gospel, there's power. For what? For salvation. And to be released from whatever is holding us back. But it's God's way, not our way, not man's way. Man's way says, forget about this. And you know what God says? And I told you this before, and I firmly believe this. God says, you want to do it your way? Go ahead. Live your life your way. Do it however you want. But when the end of your life comes, what then? You're going to have to answer for that. God says, you may not believe. You may not believe my son. But I'm going to hold you accountable. That's why Paul says in Corinthians, why he says, if the resurrection didn't happen, we are fools. If it did happen, we've gained everything, haven't we? And we believe that happened, right? Hey? That's why no Christian, and I've heard some Christians just lately, tell me that they are afraid of dying. Brothers and sisters, that shouldn't be. Maybe sorry and sorrowful because if we do, we're going to leave loved ones behind, you know. That I can see. But as Christians, we should never be afraid to die. We should look forward to it. Why? Because we're ushered into His presence, and we'll live with Him for all eternity. Is that not what we want? That should be what we want, but in order to do that, see, it's got to take His way. We go down that road, and that is the true road that leads to freedom. So that's kind of a capsulized thing, version of the book of Romans, partway. So let's stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. And we'll sing, "For God So Loved the World." That's why I chose that song, because that's what encompasses it. That's what it entails. We believe that, not what others teach us. That's why Paul said, if someone else comes and preaches or teaches you another gospel than what is found there and what I've given you there, let him be anathema, cursed, what he says. That's why it's important, see. We believe that.